Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Bible proclaims, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him will not perish, but have eternal life in Christ. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We can rejoice in that hope. Amen, hallelujah. Come on and worship with us this morning. Say, come all you weary.
Come all you weary. Come all you thirsty. Come to the well that never runs dry.
Drink of the water.
Drink of the water. Come and thirst no more.
Oh, come all you sinners.
Come all you sinners.
Come find his mercy.
Come find his mercy.
Come to the table.
Come to the table. He will taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for.
Come on, y'all. For God so loved,
for God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son to save us. Whoever believes in him
will live.
Bring your addictions, come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms.
This is my part for God.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son to save us. Whoever believes in
this morning. He loves us this morning. Hallelujah. Yeah. We love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. We bless your name. Hallelujah.
How many of us need God to turn something around in our lives today? You ever just feel that you just need something and God can just come and turn it around. How many of us need that? Listen to this song of worship together, all of us.
God turn it around. God turn it around. Let's worship in his presence.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. Tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord.
Your glory, God, is what I
your presence, Lord. By your presence, Lord. It's by your presence, Lord. By your presence, your presence, Lord, by your presence, Lord, your presence, Lord, your presence.
Close. Close to you is sometimes a close experience will bring you to an unusual encounter. Moses sees across the desert, he has a task of tending sheep. The humility of it is he's working for his father-in-law. He sees a bush on fire. Not an uncommon thing. It's a dry climate. Not uncommon to see a bush on fire. But it's an uncommon thing to see a bush on fire and it never burns up. So Moses walks over. And the Lord appears to him through an angelic presence in the midst of the flames. And Moses thought, you know what, I got to see this thing. And he says, hey, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals. My question is, what is it that you need to take off to really come into the revelation of what God is saying to you in this hour? What is it that you need to shed? What is it that you need to drop? And he says, I'm the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. The Bible says that this Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord says to him, listen, I've seen the misery of your people. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land, check this out, into a good and a spacious land. Some of you in this room today, some of you watching online, are looking for the good. Lord, are we ever going to have the good again? Some of you are struggling with the church on the other side of the virus. Is it ever going to be the same again? No, it's not going to be the same, but it can be better. Come on, it can be better. And there may be some things that you have to drive out. Look at what he says to him. He says, I'm leading you into a good and a spacious land that's flowing with milk and honey. There's abundance there. But he says, there's a parenthetical statement here. He says, it's the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites. In other words, God says to him, I'm going to give you this land. But there's some things, Moses, that you have to do. You have to drive out those oppressors. I wonder how God feels today when you and I can't even lay down our phones. I saw yesterday a friend of mine sent me a message. He said, hey, if you need to reach me in January, please just text me or send me an email. I'm laying social media down for 30 days. Okay? My question is, what is God asking of you in a brand new year? What is he saying? Listen, why don't you lay this down? Because if you lay this down, you'll find me. You'll get closer. God said, listen, I'm going to be with you. You know, the land is yours. The milk and honey is yours. The provision is yours. The abundance is yours. But you've got to drive out the oppressors. It doesn't take long to listen to a news segment, even in our little town. It's disappointing when you look at your phone and it says, oh, 15, 20 shots fired last night at McDonald's in Husky. Someone shot. And the only answer for 15 or 20 shots is for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ to get close to him and bring the message of redemption and bring the message of repentance and bring the message of revival to a dry and a thirsty land. Just to be close to you, Lord, That's my desire, just to be in your presence. I don't know if you paid attention to what you were singing today, but you've been declaring words in this room about breakthrough and revival and intimacy with God. Would to God that our songs would get down into our spirit, and that we would begin to behave, and we would begin to live like, and we would begin to act like a people who are redeemed, a people who are hungry, a people who are thirsty, just to be close to you, Lord. Can we sing that one more time? Just to be close to you. That's my desire. Come on. How many of you, that's the desire of your heart today? Just to be close to you, Lord. Because when I'm close to you, guess what? It's less of me. When I'm close to you, Lord, it's less of me. That's right. Hallelujah. Come to you today, God, with gratitude in our hearts, thanksgiving, Lord, to be in your presence, God. The word says to be in your presence, there's fullness of joy. At your right hand, Lord, there are pleasures forevermore. God, I speak blessing and peace and favor and abundance over your people today, God. Those that are watching online, your blessing, your provision. May our carts be full. May our vats overflow. May we minister, God, not out of weariness, but out of an overflow. May we minister, God, not of fatigue and frustration, but out of the favor of God, His anointing that brings us to a new place. Today we turn the page, Lord. We turn the page. The old is gone. The new has come. We forget those things, as Paul said. We forget those things of the past and we press forward to the new. In Jesus' name, mighty and strong. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Come on, just smile at someone. Greet someone before you're seated today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're glad you're with us today. Thank you for being a part of the worship experience here, Carpenter Shop International Church in Ahoskie, North Carolina. Amen. Thank you for watching online. Those of you who are with us, comment in the section below. We'd be delighted to reach out to you. Now it's time to enter into a time of giving, a time of gratitude to God. Lord, thank you for the abundance that you have blessed me with. Thank you for your provision. You're God El Shaddai. You're more than enough. And so let's come at this time. The buckets are on the altar. Let's come and give unto the Lord. Those of you that are giving online, you know what to do. You can give through our website. You can give through PushPay and the online app. Hallelujah. His goodness. Praise the Lord for his goodness. Amen. Praise God. Such a blessing today to begin a brand new year and to have with us a friend of this ministry. He's been here many times over the years. I'm sure there are memories that you have, especially guys like Joel. Amen. I'm sure there are memories that take you back and say, I remember when Doug was here before. And so without any further ado, would you welcome back to this church and welcome back to this region, Doug Echols. Come on, welcome him today.
Amen. It is a privilege to be here today. And everybody just say Happy New Year. Hey, amen. You know what? I think we ought to have a blessed new year because the word says so. Amen. And I thank God for this opportunity to be with you today. I look over the last year and even before that, this church has been a great blessing to our ministry. And we've seen God do some great things. But, you know, I just got some pictures. Actually, last night, we had a team of our guys that were up in the mountains at one of our orphanages that we're connected with, and they were feeding the kids and giving them toys. And you know what? Other than that, those are great things to do, but the greatest thing is they present the gospel. And the gospel is what changes people's lives. We are now, we've done over 250 water wells. 200 plus in Haiti, and we're now working on over 50 in India. How many understand that water may not be that big a deal to you, but if you don't have any, it becomes a big deal? And we've seen God do some great things. How many know that sometimes God can get you to the right place? He opens up a door in an unusual way. I was in Guatemala. And there was a young man there. He's from India. He said, well, my dad pastors a church in India. That's all he said. And we just began corresponding, and he came to the United States. He had some relatives in the Tulsa area, and I still didn't know who he was. And he said, I like to golf. I said, I'll golf with you. I used to golf a lot more than I do now, and but I went out golfing and I found out his dad pastored just a little struggling church in India. Over 35,000 people will be there today. But he didn't talk about that. We just talked about what the Lord could do. And, you know, that man now has taken over as the general superintendent of the Assemblies of God in India. He just became the new superintendent. And God opened up a door that way. And we're doing water wells in India while we're doing them in Haiti. And one of the water wells that we have in India, they told me about it the other day, is they call it a village that has over 100,000 people. That's crazy. You know, in America, we'd think that's a big city. But that's just a village. And he said there was a town there, that village that only has one Pentecostal church. That's all they had there. And the government had come in six times trying to drill a water well for that city. They have to bring water by a truck. And you know, anytime the government gets involved in anything, things get messed up. Doesn't matter what country of the world you're in. Okay, whatever. Everybody say whatever. So they said sometimes the water got there when it was supposed to, sometimes it didn't. But they had trouble drilling water in that town because it was so deep. The general superintendent of the Assemblies of God called me. He said, Doug, let's try to drill one at the Assembly of God church there. I said, let's do it. So after the government had tried six times, on the seventh time, we drilled at the Assemblies of God church. Over 425 feet, water is gushing out. Now, everybody in that village, over 100,000 people, now come to the Assembly of God Church to get their water. Even the Hindus get their water from the Pentecostals. How many know God is good? Amen? But I'm going to tell you something. You remind yourself what Jesus did. He had a lot of ministry at the well. He had the woman at the well. You'll find that throughout the Bible, there were things that happened at the well. And they're finding that at these wells, when the pastors go out there and minister to their community, they start seeing people give their heart to Jesus and people's lives are changed. That's what it's all about. And I'm going to challenge you today. I know that I'm going to preach and we're going to have a great time in the altar. I'm expecting God to do something for every one of you. But let's do something great this year to begin the year. Let's do something where we bless somebody else. And I'm going to tell you, we're still doing our water well. Some of you have done a whole water well in this church. And we're still doing them for only $1,500. I don't know how long that will last, but we're believing that great things are going to happen and we're going to see some people get some water. And we go back into those communities, preach the gospel, and we see great things happen because not only have we told them God loves them, but we've shown them. And when you show people God loves them, it changes everything. So I want you to watch the little video today, and the Lord will speak to you, and at the end of the service, we're going to take a great offering and do something great for the kingdom of God. Let's watch together. Amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap, all right? He's doing great things, but you know what? Every picture you see there, sometimes people say, well, you're doing something. Well, you know what? We're doing something. Those things do not happen without people helping us, and we're thankful for that. You know, we're thankful that God uses people. I was thinking that one of the texts I got yesterday, they went up to Rankeet, where we have the orphanage. And we drilled a water well there over 6 years ago, and they said it's still working great. They showed me a picture of it in a video, and they said it's one of the only ones in that area that's still working good. How many know the Lord is helping people? And water is a great thing, but I'm going to tell you something. I can remember being at a church, and the church was probably no bigger than this platform, a dirt floor. a little piece of concrete where the pulpit was. And they were proud of that little church. That church was a shack. We'd think it was a rundown barn in North Carolina, all right? I mean, like the wind hit it and it was all, you know, messed up, rusty. And they were happy they had a shelter for their church. And the pastor took me outside. We had drilled a water well there, and he took me outside and my daughter, and he showed us the well. We'd seen pictures of it, but we always go back and check on all of them. I can't be everywhere at once, but I get there eventually. We went out there and watched them pump water out of that well, and the pastor has tears running down his face. He said, "You're the answer to our prayer." He said, "We've been praying for 13 years that God would bring us some water in this neighborhood. We have to walk over 2 miles to the river to get our water." Now, I don't know about you, but in Oklahoma, we don't drink out of the river. We noodle out of the river, but we don't drink out of it. How many know what I'm talking about? But I'm going to tell you something. They're getting their water for drinking, for bathing, all that out of the river. He said, "But you're the answer to our prayer, this water well." When he said that, I thought, that doesn't fit my theology very good. God answers prayer. You know, that's what we say, but the Bible says, "Give and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men shall give unto your bosom." You realize there are people, some of those people you saw on that screen, some of those children, somebody's mama is praying, "God, send somebody to give us a meal for our family." They're praying, "God, send us somebody that will help us with a water well. God, send somebody to my children that they might hear the gospel." And you know what? You and I can be the answer to their prayer. We can do something. I'm going to ask the Lord to speak to your heart today that you'll do something great for the kingdom of God. I think there's some people here that could do a whole water well today. Don't hesitate. Do something good. Start the year great and forget about what is behind, and let's press on and do something greater. Amen. Praise the Lord. Pastor, thank you for allowing me to be here. My wife and I are so excited to be here. Lori, lift up your hand, and she's easy to see in that bright sweater. You look very pretty today. And 31 years plus, we've been married now, 31 years and 10 days. So we just had our anniversary, so we're glad. But I brought some friends with me today, too, Tony and Janice Suki. They're here not really to hear me preach. Tony's heard every sermon I've ever preached. He always texts me and says, "I'm listening to one of your sermons, you know." But I brought them because they're going to help me pray today, and they're my friends, and it's good to have some good company. I figured if nobody else is going to amen me, they will. Okay, but I'm glad they're here. So you welcome them today as well. Amen. And before I get into the message, I want to just talk about a couple of things. I've got a couple of books that I've written out in the foyer. Faith for the Holy Ghost, Rock Solid Principles for Prosperity. Those books are $10. I have a couple of CDs. If you know what a CD is, it's a small record. Okay, I don't know if anybody even has these, but they're also available on iTunes and Spotify, and they're kind of old school music. I sing old school stuff like, you know, "What a Day That Will Be When Jesus I Shall See and Everybody Will Be Happy Over There." I sing an old Hank Williams Sr. song, "House of Gold." He probably sang it really drunk. I sing it really sober. Okay, and then I also have 10 Christmas songs, too, and I found what a lot of people like is their grandchildren love this CD with Christmas songs, because I sing Jingle Bells on there, and it makes my sister laugh every time she hears me sing Jingle Bells. But you know what? Somebody said, "What's that have to do with Jesus?" Everything about Christmas is Jesus to me. If you're upset about Jingle Bells, well, there's a movie, and you weren't the star, but you were one of the players, Scrooge. But those are $10. You can pick those up. And then one other thing, or maybe two, I've got a hat with our logo on it. The back has whatever. And a lot of young people like wearing those backwards, you know, so they can just be smart aleck their whole day. And those are $10. And then some of you probably have our shirts. But this one is long sleeve, and it says whatever, my very favorite word. And then the back has a greater word, Philippians 4:8, whatever's pure, just, and lovely, think on these things. And when they're short sleeve, I sell them for $20. But since they're long, this sleeve is $250, and this sleeve is $250, so they're $25, all right? But we take cash, debit, credit, check, Venmo, Cash App, PayPal, Apple Pay, Zelle, we'll take it all right? And you can do that out there in the foyer at the end of the service. If you want to be a partner with us, some of you have been partners with us in the past. You fill out one of these. We'd love to have you on our team together. Praise the Lord. Lori or Tony, come get this. All right. Thank you, Tony. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. I want you to look in your Bible to 2 Chronicles, the 25th chapter, verse number 1. 2 Chronicles chapter 25 and verse number 1. And I'll give you a second there if you want to look it up, but it's on the screen. It's easy. And it says simply there, Amaziah was 25 years old when he began to reign. He's 25 years old and he's the king. And he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoiada of Jerusalem. Verse number 2, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart. I think the Living Bible says sometimes he resented doing what was right in the sight of the eyes of the Lord. I want us to pray over the reading of the word today. Let's all ask the Lord to do something new in us. This is a new year. Why don't we believe the Lord for something great and new to happen in our life? Father God, I thank you. We declare that this is the place of freedom. We thank you, Lord, that there is a spirit of liberty here today. That there is no bondage here. Devil, you're an absolute liar. You take your hands off of God's people today. And we declare that some have been in a year of struggle, but today they're stepping into a new season. We declare it today in the name of the Lord. Let the Spirit of God bring breakthrough today in the name of the Lord, that I may minister and speak with the ability that you give. I'm depending on you. Lord, bring us revival today. Bring us revival in this nation, in our state, in this city, but begin it in our heart today, I pray. If there be one here that does not know you, that's backslidden, or has sin in their life, I pray, Lord, make it hot in here for them today, that they'd be under conviction by the power of the Holy Spirit, that they'd be drawn to Jesus, that you would be lifted up today in your mighty name, the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, why don't you tell your neighbor, I see great things coming your way. It's inevitable before you're seated. I see great things coming your way. It's inevitable. And then you can be seated. Hallelujah. Great things. Amen. I think Oral Roberts said something good is going to happen to you. I'll just say something great is going to happen to you. Amen. I believe it. And the Word of God is good today. And how many understand that everything in this Bible is inspired by God? I heard one famous person talking about things, and he said, Jesus never said anything about a certain subject. Well, he's got to understand Jesus is the living word, and it doesn't matter if Jesus said it, if it's in this book, whatever Jesus said or in this book is all anointed by God, inspired by God, and it needs to be in our heart, and it all needs to be taken heed to. Did that upset anybody? But you got to understand what the Word of God, all of it's in there for a reason. When the Bible puts in there that this young man, Amaziah, did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, yet not with a whole heart, it's in there on purpose. And I think that one of the things we need to look at is God looks at how we do things. Sometimes we come in with an attitude. God sees the attitude. You might be able to hide it from somebody, but you're not hiding it from God. When you usher, you need to do it with everything with a good attitude. When you teach with a good attitude. When you come into church, you praise Him with a good attitude, because God sees all those things. Now, you think that it's really not important, but you find that Amaziah, his father, if you go back one chapter, his father was king. His name was Joash. Joash began to rule and reign when he was 7. And it says the same thing about him. He did what was right in the sight of the eyes of the Lord. But it didn't say he did not do it with a whole heart, or he did not do it the way that his son did. And I'm going to tell you something that tells me that in one generation you can lose some things. You can lose some things. In one generation, you can lose respect. In one generation, we can lose the spirit of revival. In one generation, we can lose some things. So we got to be careful what we pass down. I am making a decision that today, that the next generation will not be a generation without revival, because I believe if you preach the word and you believe the word, I'm not going to be a part of that falling away generation, but I'm going to be a part of that generation that in the last days I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and that includes the next generation. Do you believe that here? I believe it today. Let's go on down to 2 Chronicles 25, verse number 5. Then Amaziah assembled the men of Judah and set them by fathers' houses under commanders of thousands and of hundreds for all Judah and Benjamin. He mustered those 20 years old and upward and found that they were 300 choice men fit for war, able to handle spear and shield. So he's got 300,000 men, young men, that are qualified to be in the army. And they are skillful. 300,000. But he hired also 100,000 mighty men of valor from Israel for 100 talents of silver. So he has 300,000, but he goes out and hires 100,000 mercenaries. Now, I don't know if you understand what a mercenary is. It's maybe someone that is paid to fight on someone else's behalf. A lot of times when I'm on a missions trip, I'll be out in the middle of somewhere awful, but usually when we come back, we stay at a nice hotel before we leave the next day. That way we take a good shower and smell good on the way home. But you'll go into those nice hotels and there'll be some men and they'll be walking around with muscles, you know, and they'll be walking around with a little short haircut and they're wearing cargo pants and they got some military looking boots on, and you wonder who they are, and they might be working for our government. I don't know. They might just be mercenaries hired by that country to train their army, but there are people that do that for a living. But here he hired 100,000 mercenaries for 100 talents of silver. Now, what is 100 talents of silver? It would have been a lot of money. It'd been in the millions of dollars today. And this is a very small country, and the money that he spent was enough that if it didn't go right, it could bankrupt that country. But here's something that happens. But a man of God. Everybody say a man of God. But a man of God came to him and said, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for the Lord is not with Israel, with all these Ephraimites, but go, act, be strong for the battle. Why should you suppose that God will cast you down before the enemy? For God has power to help or to cast down. And Amaziah said to the man of God, what shall we do about the 100 talents that I have given to the army of Israel? Really, is what he's saying is, well, what about the money? What about the money? He said, I've spent so much, I could bankrupt the country. I hired these guys and you said we're not to use them. He says, what about the money? Here's what the man of God says. What shall we do about the 100 talents that I've given to the army of Israel? The man of God answered, here's what I want to preach today. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. I want everybody to read that last little bit with me right there. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. Say it again. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. Now tell your neighbor, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Now, I'm going to tell you that as a minister of the gospel, it is very... Well, you got to be very careful about taking a line out of the Bible and preaching. Are you understanding me? Because sometimes you can take something out of context, but this line right here, I don't know how I have missed it my whole life.
I've read through the Bible over and over and over, and just recently I came upon that and that popped out to me. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. And I realize that this is a theme throughout the Bible. Do you realize how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask and give good things to them that ask? He said that I'll do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think. This is a theme of the Bible. And the man of God says this to this young man, Amaziah, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. I'm going to tell you, I believe the Lord is speaking to you today that the Lord is able to give you much more than this. I believe today that the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Now you go back in that a little bit, and the man of God says to the king, why should you suppose, verse 8, that God will cast you down before the enemy? For God has power to help or to cast down. Now Amaziah, he's worried about the money. He's worried about losing. He's worried about losing. That's why he's even worried about losing the war. That's why he hires another 100,000 men to help him. He's got 300,000 that are talented, but he's thinking it may not be enough. We might need a little bit more. We might need a little bit more. And the man of God says, why do you think that God would let you lose? How many know that sometimes we have a way in our life? My mama lost, my grandma lost, my grandfather, we're a bunch of losers, and I'm dragging it into my family. It becomes a curse in our life. But I'm going to tell you something. I believe some of you have lost the last day of your life. I'm telling you, have stepped into 23, and I believe that you've had that attitude, all I ever do is lose. I never get a healing. I never get a breakthrough. I never get the financial miracle that I'm looking for. But I'm going to tell you, I don't know what drives that. It could be fear, and fear is a strong source. But I'm going to tell you, Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. See, I don't know, but some of you are waking up in the middle of the night at 4 a.m. and you're sweating. And it's not because you're going through a change. You're sweating because things are tough around you, and you're stressing out over something. You're waking up and you're not getting the sleep that you need, and you're losing sleep over your situation. The Bible says weeping may endure for a night. But the truth is, joy comes in the morning. And if the truth is that joy comes in the morning, why should you be losing your sleep over your situation tonight? Are you understanding me? You cannot lose with God on your side. See, do you realize that God would rather set you up than set you down? You realize that this Bible right here is a book of mercy? He said His mercy endures forever. I like that part. But you realize that when we talk about mercy, there's another side. We have got to talk about the other side. There will be a day of judgment for everyone. You realize we're all going to stand before God one day? I know we don't like to talk about that, but every one of us are going to stand before God. It's appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And I think about that. You know, that will probably be the most important day of your life. When I got married 31 years ago, 10 days, that was a big day in my life. Lori didn't know how big a day it'd be for her. She's going to have to pray for 31 years and 10 days. But that was a big day. When my children were born, those are big days. If the Dallas Cowboys make it to the playoffs, it'll be a big day. Just joking around. Come on. Come on, make me, just stay with me, that's all right. That was a joke. There'll be some way for the Dallas Cowboys to disintegrate. There always is. But anyway, those are big days, but it won't be anything like the day when you stand before God. See, I don't understand why we'll spend so much time for some of these days. When my children were born, we had a bag ready. She had a bag ready to go to the hospital. We had it sitting by the door ready to go. We were prepared in advance. And when we got married, we had to make plans in advance. We had to get the venue and all the things and the preacher, my dad ready and all the different things. But there's a day when you stand before God that's going to be more important than any of those days. And yet some of us stand around and we're worried about what our friends think. We're worried about what our family think. We're worried about what our neighbors think. We're worried about what everybody else thinks. But I'm going to tell you, I have decided I'm not worried about what everybody else thinks. I am worried today, and I use that in a good term. I just want to be ready to meet God. I am concerned about what He thinks over everyone else. So I'm going to live my life for Him in 23 and not live it for everybody else. Somebody say amen. If you don't do it God's way, there will be consequences. There's a day of judgment. You know, in this world, we found judges. Some of them won't uphold the Constitution. Some of them will change the law to suit them. All right? There's judges that if you go, we know that there's been people that have been put to jail for too long that didn't do what they thought they did. And there's been some that got off for doing something that they should have went longer. But I'm going to tell you, when you stand before the just judge, you will get what is coming to you. Can I get an amen in here? So you need to live for Him. God has power to help. He has power to overthrow. To fight with God, you receive His help. To fight against Him, you will have God overthrow you. So I've decided I'm going with God. I'm going with God. Now, Amaziah, he had a problem. He hired the 100,000 mercenaries for 100 talents of silver, millions of dollars worth in today's society. And he had something going on. He limited God. I'm saying to you in 23, number one, do not limit the God of no limits. Do not limit the God of no limits. Amaziah limited the God of no limits. He assumed what was possible and what was not. He thought, well, we could lose with 300,000 army guys that are talented and have ability, so I'm going to have to help God out. How many know that sometimes we try to help God out? Sometimes I'm going to say there's a limit to which you can help yourself. There's a limit to which any man, woman, institution can help you. There are problems that you can never solve by your limited wisdom, your limited power, your limited ability, your limited financial resources. But I'm here to tell you that God has no limits. He is limitless. So whatever's limiting you can turn around quickly when God gets involved. Amaziah hired the mercenaries. And the problem was that these mercenaries, they were from Ephraim, and the Ephraimites were idol worshipers. They were idol worshipers, and they're worshiping idols. And I think that sometimes we get tempted as we live this life to compromise Bible values in order to get ahead in life. Well, I'm just going to do it this one time because everybody does it, but I'm just doing it because I need to get ahead with the boss. I need to get ahead with the work. See, we will compromise Bible values to fit into this world, but one of the very first things you should learn as a Christian is simply this, that we're not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. See, God's help is worth more to you than anything else in this world. God's help is worth far more to you than anything else. 2 Chronicles 25:9. I want you to look at it again. It says, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. I want you to say it with me one more time. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. See, I want you to wake up in the middle of the night and that be on your mind. The Lord is able to give me much more than this. You ever get a song in your head? You can't get rid of it. You know? Grandma got run over by a reindeer. I got that on my head. I heard that on some stupid station in Oklahoma, and that's all I could think of all Christmas season. You know, you remember that old song? You know, Jenny, 8675309. That's as good as I can sing it with this church voice that I got. No matter what I sing, it sounds churchy. I want you to know that. See, I grew up, I'm very Pentecostal. My dad's an Assemblies of God pastor for many, many years. Now, my wife, she grew up Catholic, so she knew all the rock songs. I only knew Jimmy Swaggart. So I'm in the shower one day, and I'm like, I got this song in my head, and I'm singing. I get out of the shower and say, Lord, do you know this song? I know you know it. It's an old rock song. And I sing it. She says, I can't understand what you're singing. She said, everything you sing sounds like a church song. She said, you could sing Highway to Hell and it would sound like a church song. I'm on the highway to, you know, second verse, you know. Never mind. Some of you just not going to have any. I'm having more fun in church than you are, but I want that to get in your spirit. Not in a bad way like those songs sometimes do that you're just like, can I get that out of my head? But I want this to get in you that the Lord is able to give you much more than this, because we are living in today. When you turn on the news, we're going to hear about shortages. We turn on the news and we hear about inflation. We hear about things are going to be hard. We hear that we live in days of uncertainty. We hear about wars. We hear about governments faltering. We have issues. And how many know that there are spirits that are loose in this world? There is an Antichrist spirit. There is an Absalom spirit. There's a Jezebel spirit. There's a spirit of fear, a spirit of death, a spirit of suicide. But how many know there is no spirit as powerful as the spirit of this Bible right here? Are all sufficient? God, the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit still breaks the chains of bondage, that still sets the captives free. So I'm here to tell you, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. I don't know what the devil has tried to tell you. I don't know what you've heard through these ears, but I'm telling you, I'm renewing my mind in 23, and I'm going to say that the Lord is able to give me much more than this. I'm not going to walk in sickness. The Lord is able to give me much more than this. I'm not walking in poverty, but I'm going to be able to bless somebody, because the Lord is able to give me much more than this. I don't know what gas is going to be, but I'm going to be able to pay for it and bless somebody else. I went into the we have Quick Trips in Oklahoma, and I went in there, and the lady was, she goes, I didn't know what she was even buying. She said, can I use this card for $5 and this one for $3? And they weren't working. And so I pulled 20 out, and I just kind of slid it across the thing under her wallet. And she goes, oh, thank you. And then what was funny, the lady behind the counter, she said, oh, you bought her cigarettes? I said, yeah, I wanted her to get cancer a lot faster. That was a joke. I don't want her to get cancer. But I'm telling you, there are people that are struggling. When you're using two cards for your bondage, you're bound. How many know what I'm saying? But the Lord will loose you in these days. I'm not trying to give you a hassle. I'm telling you. I'm just telling you, I want to be blessed so I can bless people unconditionally. I don't want to get her in bondage. I don't want to be a part of her deal. I just made a weird joke because I felt uncomfortable. Here are the preachers buying cigarettes. When I hear these things going on in the world, I've got to ask myself, whose report am I going to believe? The Lord is able to give me much more than this. When I hear the doctor come in and he says, well, I don't think it looks good, the Lord is able to give me much more than this. We had somebody call us and say they had lumps on her breast and they didn't look good. But when they went back, the doctor said, don't worry about those, because we prayed. And the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Some of you have lost something of great value. Amaziah lost something of great value. He said, what about the money? Some of you have lost something of great value. Maybe you've gone through a divorce, but I'm here to tell you the Lord is able to give you much more than this. I'm here to tell you that whatever God does, it might be against what you think you should do, but I'm going to tell you the will of God sometimes will be contrary to your senses, and it will take faith. Faith is what pleases God. And some of you are going to connect to God in a way you never have by faith. When Moses stretched out his hand over the Red Sea and the Red Sea parted and they walked over on dry land, it was because faith was involved. Faith empowers you to do the impossible. And I see today in this church that some of you are rising up with the gift of faith. And while God passes over some, he's getting right in your house, and he's getting right in your neighborhood, and he's getting right in your family. Because you have dared to do the impossible by faith. God said he was able to give him much more than this if only he would obey. The second point I want to make, success hinges on your obedience. Your increase, your abundance, your multiplication. God said to Amaziah, I'll give you much more than this if you'll obey. The Word of God says, if you be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Well, preacher, I've got too much invested in this. What about the money? I got too much into this hobby, into this project. I got too much into this relationship. What about putting God first? What about seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you? Listen, I grew up in Western Oklahoma. Where I grew up, everything was wheat farms, gas, and oil. That's all we had. Gas, oil, and wheat. So we had a bunch of farmers in my dad's church. All right? And Oklahoma, I don't know if you know, but we have some pretty wicked tornadoes from time to time. And tornado season starts in the spring, but harvest is at the end of May and the beginning of June. So we're still in storm season while we're having harvest. They plant in October. They reap a harvest in the end of May, the beginning of June. Now, we had men in my dad's church that had 12,500 acres. Another one had over 10,000. Another one had 7,500. These guys had pretty big farms. And I can remember, the town I grew up in was completely blown away by a tornado in 1947. Now, I wasn't born then. You might think I'm old, but I'm not that old. But it completely blown away. It was the worst tornado that the United States has ever had. More deaths in 1947 in that one tornado. So that town was very gun-shy about storms. You can understand why. And in those days, we didn't have the good meteorologists like we have today. When we have a storm now, they'll tell you, it's on 111th, it'll be on 131st in 5 minutes, take shelter now. All right? And we hurry up and get into our storm shelter. But when I was a kid, they'd say, we're going to have bad weather on Monday. This was on the weekend. You're going to have bad weather on Monday, get ready for it. We'd go to the church basement a lot, and we'd open up our church, and as kids, we loved it. It was just the time we got to hang out, you know. But it wasn't a good time if you had a storm. Well, we heard a storm was coming. During the harvest, a storm is coming, and they say on Monday, a terrible storm could hit our area, and it's going to bring hail, H-A-I-L. Are you understanding what that is? All right. Now, we have hail in Oklahoma. We have pea size, nickel size, quarter size, baseball size, softball size. Now, that's some hail. But if you miss the rapture, there's going to be hail the size of a Jewish talent, maybe 125-pound hail. You don't want to miss the rapture. You need to be ready when Jesus comes. Just thought I'd throw that in. That was for free. But they say hail's coming. What does hail do? It destroys a wheat harvest. High winds and hail. So they know that's coming on Monday. They've got everybody's working. They got the combines out and they are working with the lights on. They're working until they can't work anymore. Sunday morning, we're coming into church. We see farmers running their equipment, but we get to church. Every farmer from our church is in church on Sunday. My dad says, a lot of these guys are working today. They say, Pastor, we don't work on Sunday. It's the Lord's day. He said, well, what about the money? Because if you don't have a harvest, you don't have money if you're a farmer. What about the harvest? They said, seek first the kingdom of God. They said, if you put God first, you'll never come in last. That's what they said. Now, I can remember as a boy, that storm came like the meteorologist said. It brought hail. And these men, okay, picture this. There's a line going right up here and a fence. This is the farmer from our church. On this side's the farmer that didn't go to our church, that was out working on Sunday. The storm comes and all of a sudden it just wipes this guy's crop out. It gets to that fence and lifts. Supernatural. You say, oh, I never heard of such a thing. It's a coincidence. Isn't it funny how coincidences stop happening when you stop doing the Word of God? Put God first, you'll never come in last. Do you realize the number one fast food restaurant in America is not McDonald's? It would probably be McDonald's if their ice cream machine worked. But McDonald's in our area, it's open every day. It's open up late. The drive-thru, you can go whenever and get cold food. Peace if you run McDonald's, all right? I love. All right, but the number one fast food restaurant in America, a few years ago, everybody said they're going to be canceled because they took a stand on same-sex marriage. Nobody's going to go to them. And it seems like while everybody else was losing business, our Chick-fil-A opened another lane. Now, I know they have one in Elizabeth City, but it doesn't work there. But it works everywhere else in America. I'm telling you something. You put God first, you will never come in last. They're not open on Sunday. They're only open 6 days a week, and this other's open seven, and yet they're still the number one fast food restaurant in America. It's a godly Bible principle. When you obey God, there will be blessing. See, Noah obeyed God. Some of you need to obey God. When he obeyed God, it blessed his family. Some of you obey God today, it will bless your family. See, God's already speaking to some of you. When he speaks to you and you obey, it will bless your family. Listen about Amaziah. Amaziah, why do you think when we read it, it said Amaziah, he ruled and reigned for 25 years. He was 25 years old. He ruled for 29 years, excuse me. And then it said his mother's name was Jehoiadan. I read that and I'm going, who gives a rip? You ever read something and wonder why it's there? It's in there for a reason. Some of you got upset I just said that. I can feel it. I'm feeling the fiery darts of the wicked right now. But I don't know, you ever read in your Bible, why is that in there? I could have read that. It didn't make, who cares who Amaziah's mother is? Well, it tells you something. Amaziah, if she's like most moms, when Amaziah was a little boy, he's on his mama's lap and she's patting him and she's stroking his hair and saying, Amaziah, you're beautiful. Amaziah, you're wonderful. Your dad was a pretty good king, but you're going to be even better. She's talking to him. You're a champion. You know, some of us, if we talked to our kids better, they'd probably turn out a little better. The only time you talk to them, you get in there and clean up your room before I knock you out. And you wonder why they don't want to be around you. Here's what you need to do. You're a champion. Now go clean your room. But that's why I'm a dad and not a mom. I could make fun of my wife a little bit, but I won't. My girls, I come home, well, I'm going to anyway. I come home one day and I hear this racket in the bathroom, and Lori's got a flip-flop and beating both girls, just knocking the socks off of them. And when she leaves, my littlest one, she says, "Dad, it didn't even hurt." I said, "Don't tell your mom." Okay. These side journeys, I don't know if it's helping anybody, but we're going somewhere. But Amaziah is sitting on his mama's lap. She's saying, "Look, I want you to know something. We named you Amaziah for a reason. Your name means this: the Lord strengthens." He knew that from a little boy. My name means the Lord strengthens. But he thought, I'm going to have to help God out. I'm going to tell you something. He should have known better. The Lord will make it up to you. That the Lord is able to give you much more than this. See, we should know today. We should know, but some of you need to be reminded today that it is the Lord God that said, "I will supply your every need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." You got to remember today that he said, "I've come that you might have abundant life." You got to remember today that he is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord God that provides. You got to remember today that our sufficiency is in him, that he is our provision, and you don't get what you deserve, but the Lord spares you from your own thinking, and the loss will be made up by God. Give and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men shall give unto your bosom. If your earthly father wants to give you good gifts, how much more will the heavenly Father give good gifts to them that ask, the Holy Spirit to them that ask? I am here to tell you today, I came to remind you that the Lord is able to give you much more than this. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to close with this. I got one little thing. I'm just going to close. Let's forget that one little thing, maybe. I looked at my watch and it scared me a little bit. Stand to your feet. Come on. Just stand to your feet. I was preaching somewhere, and the pastor got on my case when I got done preaching, because I preached on a subject that the Bible's against, but it's legal in America, in some places. He got mad at me. He said, "Don't ever preach that at my church again." I said, "Okay." On the inside, I was going, but on the outside, I said, "Okay, I'm not here to fight. I don't fight with your pastor. We get along. We're on the same team." But I made up my mind, if it's in the Bible and you don't let me preach it, then I'm not preaching there. Just not going to do it. Now this church, I didn't know if he'd call me again. He called me and said, "Can you come preach?" And I said, "No, I can't." I didn't get into it, didn't tell him why, nothing. I'm just making this story very short. When I hung up the phone, I had buyer's remorse. Because this church that I'm talking about, they would pay me like what six churches would pay me in 1 week. Are you understanding me? That's a big, and you see what we're doing around the world, it's not free. So I'm thinking, I just threw money out the window because he wouldn't let me preach. I may never preach on that subject ever again, but because he said not to, I wanted to. But I said no. I got off the phone, and I'm kind of having a regret. What about the money? I got a phone call. A young man, works hard, blue-collar worker. He said, "The Lord spoke to me." He sold some guns. He sold a welder. He sold a trailer. He said, "I'm sending you a check." When I got the check, it was more than what the church would have paid me. How many know the Lord is able to give you much more than this? We talk about you cannot outgive God, but when you do what is right, how many know obedience is always less costly than disobedience? Obedience, whatever it costs, is always cheaper than disobedience. See, God wants to bring you favor in this new year. It's priceless. Amaziah, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. That's favor. Amaziah, the Lord is able to give you much more than this. I don't know, but I'm going to tell you, I don't know what you've been told. I don't know what the doctor said. I don't know what the banker said. I don't know what the boss said. I don't know what the relative said. I don't care what your preacher says. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. Are you hearing me? I want that to be in your spirit today. I want to talk to you just before we close here. We're going to dismiss together. Stay with us. We're going to receive an offering a little bit later, but I want you to stay. But I already talked about all of us are going to stand before God on our judgment day. How's it going to be when you stand before God? You need to think about that right now. If you had to stand before God, are you ready? I think about it sometimes, and I think you don't want to stand before God with sin in your life. Probably won't be a good day. You don't want to stand before God with disobedience in your life. You want to come to Him ready. See, when you go to the doctor here in America, you might get a phone call the day before. Don't eat after midnight. We're going to run tests on you. You got to prepare for the meeting. Fill out this paperwork before you get there. We have meetings that we have to have things. Our ducks in a row for the mortgage, for the banker. We have to have some things prepared. But some of us spend our whole life not preparing for the most important day of our life when we stand before God. Well, let's just see what happens. The Bible says in 1 John 5:13, you can know you have eternal life. The Bible says in Luke chapter 10, you can know your name is written in heaven. The Bible says in Romans 8, it would say that you can know that you are a child of God. You can be sure you're ready for that day. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. Every head bowed, every eye closed, no one looking around. I want you to check yourself. Are you ready to meet God? If you're here today and you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm ready to meet God, or you've got sin in your life or disobedience, you know you're not ready to meet God. And you say, preacher, I need your prayer today. I'm not sure I'm ready to meet God. Would you lift up your hand in this place right now? Come on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see a number of hands. Thank you for being honest. Thank you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Anyone else today, lift up your hand quickly. You can put your hand down if you've raised it. I'm going to ask you to do something. Listen, I'm not asking you to join this church. I'm not asking you to shake my hand or even know how to pray. But I'm going to ask you to do something that takes guts and courage. Jesus said, if you are ashamed of me, I will be ashamed of you. Jesus said, if you deny me, I will deny you. But then he says, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. Today, this is the place of mercy. This is the place of mercy. If you're here today and you say, preacher, I need a fresh start, a new beginning. I raised my hand or I should have, and I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. I want to be sure I'm ready to meet God. Maybe you have sin in your life or disobedience, or you're just not sure. See, you can be 98, 99% sure and be 100% lost. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt. In this building, you raised your hand or you should have. Would you get some courage and be the first one to step out and come stand here with me? I'm going to pray with you if you'll come. Will you come right now? I'm not asking what you did in the past, but you're not living your life for other people. See, one day when you stand before God, you'll say, well, I didn't have an opportunity. They'll say, what about that guy that preached from Oklahoma that kept saying, whatever, you didn't have a chance? I gave you a chance. This is your opportunity, sir. This is your opportunity. I want you to get out of your seat and come join me right here. Come on, there's still others that are coming. Thank you guys for coming so quickly. But there's still others that raise their hand. Would you come right now, quickly? I'm going to wait just about 30 more seconds. Come on, thank you. Thank you, young man. Thank you. Thank you, young lady. Thank you. Come on. You're coming. You're just saying, I need a fresh start, a new beginning. Come on. Come on. Start the new year right. See, some of you are going to go exercise for 30 days. Some of you are going to go do something. You're going to change your eating for a little bit. But I'm telling you, God is speaking to your heart today. This is a change that will last forever today. Come on, is there anybody else? I'm down to 15 seconds. I thank these that have come. Thank you for coming. 10 seconds. Anybody else? Devil, you're a liar. See, the devil's speaking to somebody and say, I'll go home and pray. That's the devil's lie to get you out of this atmosphere of freedom. 5 seconds. Is there anyone else? Come on. There was a couple more that raised their hand. I want you to come. There's others that you didn't, but you should have. Come on. I'm going to wait just a second. I just feel a little check in my spirit. Father God, have mercy. Come on. I don't know why, but you guys that are right with the Lord ought to be praying. Every time the preacher gives an invitation, you ought to be interceding. Praying under your breath. Just believe in the Lord that people are going to come to this altar. Is there anybody else? I'm waiting. I want something to happen here. I want somebody of faith to come stand behind every person that's here. Come on, quickly. Don't do anything yet. Just come stand behind them. Everybody step up just a little bit. I'm going to pray. My wife's going to pray. Tony and Janice are going to help me pray. But I want somebody to come stand behind every person that's here. Then I want to ask one more thing. How many in this building, you've heard the word, the Lord is able to give you much more than this? How many need the Lord to move on your behalf in 23, much more than this? You know what I'm saying. I need the Lord to work in my family much more than this. I need the Lord to work in my health much more than this. I don't know what it is, but step out by faith and come stand here. I want to pray with you today. I believe a moment of favor will change everything. God's favor is moving in this place today. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. If you can't stand, you can sit on the front row, but I'm going to pray with you in just 1 second here. Lord, have mercy. Stay with us today. God's good. We're going to believe God for great things. But I want everybody to lift up both hands if you're physically able. The Word of God says, I will that men pray everywhere. That's mankind praying everywhere. Here right in Ahoskie, I will that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and without doubting. When you lift up those hands, you're showing God you're not mad at Him and you're here in faith. You're pleasing God with your hands lifted right now. And I want everybody in this building to pray this out loud with me. No matter why you came to this altar, I want you to help somebody else pray, but I want you to say it loud enough where two or three people can hear you with some boldness and with some courage. Say this with me right now. Dear God in heaven, I know that one day I will stand before you. I want to be ready. I need a fresh start. I need a new beginning. Jesus, come into my heart. I know you died on the cross for me. And your blood was shed for my sin. Cleanse me now. I repent of my past. I have a change of heart, a change of mind, a change of direction. I believe that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. And I boldly confess Jesus Christ as my Lord. I'm never going to be the same. I receive the abundant life today. I receive the abundant life today. Thank you for what you did on the cross for me. Come on, I want everybody to lift up your hands right now. And I want you just to praise Him with your mouth. If you're standing behind somebody, I want you to begin praying with them right now. Come on, if you're come to pray with somebody, do it right now. But I want you to ask. The Bible said you have not because you ask not. What do you want God to do? What is it that you're asking for more? The Lord is able to give you much more than this. What is it you're asking for? Ask. He said, whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Everybody start praying in this altar. Pray in this church. If you're in your seat, stretch out your hand toward these in the altar right now. Father God, I thank you for the Spirit of the Lord brings liberty now. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God moving in this young man right now from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. We thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of God brings liberty. Receive. Come on, church, I want you to ask the Lord to do something in your life. Ask Him to do it much more than this. Much more. Devil, you're a liar. You take your hands off in the name of Jesus. We declare the Spirit of the Lord brings liberty now in the name of the Lord. Come on, just keep praying.
In the name of Jesus.
Come on, that's God touching you right there. Come on, God's moving. God's moving. God's moving on your behalf. I hear the word of the Lord. It's rising up in your spirit. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. And you have limited him. You have stopped him. But I'm telling you that God's mercy is flowing. And the open heavens come your way. The open doors come your way. Now in the name of Jesus. Oh, freedom, 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 freedom. In the name of the Lord. Come on, I want you to reach out to heaven right now. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus. The Lord is able to give you money. Come on, let God touch you right now. Receive in the name of Jesus. Lord, receive in the name of Jesus. Greater days, greater days. Keep praying. Keep praying, church. Hallelujah. The Spirit of the Lord brings liberty now. Lord, we thank you for the anointing. We thank you for the Spirit of the Lord in the name of Jesus. Come on, God's moving. Come on, he's not done with you yet. Oh, sweet Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, let God use you. In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, devil, you're a liar. In the name of Jesus. Take your hands off. Hallelujah. We bring every thought into captivity. For the weapons of our warfare, they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, the Lord. Hallelujah. Listen to what he's saying about you today. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are a child of God. You're a child of God. Royal blood flows through your veins. Receive that today in the name of Jesus. Oh, your worth is not what others say it is, but your worth is what the Lord says it is. In the name of Jesus. More than a conqueror. You're above and not beneath. You're the head and not the tail. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Receive in the name of Jesus. Receive in the name of Jesus.
With every breath.
Much more. Much more. Much more, Lord.
In the name. I will sing.
Hallelujah. Come on, lift up your voice and sing it. Come on. Hallelujah.
'Cause all my life you have been faithful.
Come on. He's been faithful. Oh, hallelujah.
All my life you have been so, so good.
In the name of Jesus. In the mighty name. In the mighty name of Jesus, thank you, Lord, for the Spirit of the Lord brings liberty. Thank you, Lord, for the power of God. Come on, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Everybody ask for a fresh infilling of the Spirit right now. How much more? How much more? He'll do exceeding abundantly above all that you ask or think.
All my life you have been so. So good. Every breath that I am able,
oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Come on, let's sing it one more time. Come on.
I will sing of the goodness of God.
Of the goodness of God. Come on, sing with every breath. Come on. With that.
Every breath you have been faithful.
All my life
you have been so, so, so good. With every breath that I
I will sing of the goodness of God.
Everybody look at me for a moment here. I believe that word today, it's a word for this season. The Lord is able to give you much more than this. Everybody say that with me. The Lord is able to give me much more than this. Say that. The Lord is able to give me much more than this. See, I believe that God's a God of increase. God's a God of abundance. God's a God that does not lack. God's a God that wants to bless you to be a blessing. Abraham was blessed to be a blessing. When I came to Christ, I'm Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So I'm blessed to be a blessing. Listen, I'm asking you to bless some folks today. You saw the video. You heard me talk about things. Ephesians 6:8 is one of my very favorite verses in the Bible. It says, whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive the Lord. It really just says this, what you do for others, God will do for you. That's it. You say, well, what about water? When I give natural water, I believe for living water for my family. I don't have problem having water at my house. Unless something happens to the city, I'm going to have water. But I'm going to tell you something. We all need the living water for our families. And when I help the preacher go preach the gospel, I'm part of that. When people get saved, you're a part of that. What I do for others, God will do for me. If I help the preacher win other families to the Lord will help me with my family. That's how God works. It's called sowing and reaping. So I'm going to challenge you. We got some people here today that could do a whole well, $1,500, no problem. Some of you could do a third of a well or half. But listen, you know how we eat an elephant? It's one bite at a time. 12 of you did 125, we pay a well. 125 doesn't do anything at Walmart, but it'll do a lot to get a water well going. When somebody talks like that, you go, oh, yeah, I forget about what's going on in the world. The Lord is able to give me much more than this. I'm not controlled by the world's economy. I'm going by God's economy. But He uses people to be an answer to prayer. Let's be that today. Once you get ready, go back to your seat. Pastor's coming. Let's get our offering ready. Come on, Pastor. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Come on, give the Lord praise, would you? God's able to do it, isn't He? Thank you, Lord. I want you to prepare to give today. I've been on the other side when the pump was pushed down and the water gushed. It's an amazing thing to see a village get cold, running water. We didn't even say anything about a hot water heater. They just want water, okay? Just water. Well, I just got done with Christmas, man. You know how it is. Are you going to trust the Lord or are you going to trust the system? Amen? So let's just pray and ask the Holy Spirit. God's not going to lead you to do something that's stupid. That's for sure. He's going to speak to your heart. Lord, thank you for the people of God, willing servants, giving people, Lord. Knowing, God, that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we could ask, think, or imagine. Take what we give today, Lord, together, collectively. Let us be a blessing to a people in another nation who long to have their thirst satisfied. And God, take the thirst and the natural and give opportunity in that community, in that village, in that hamlet, wherever it is, and allow the gospel to be proclaimed. Thank you for favor over Doug's life, God, to plant wells, to plant seeds, to bring the gospel to people who've never heard of Jesus. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on and give what you can to establish ministry in a village. Would you do that? Just take a moment, stand and give. If you need to give by Pushpay, just put guest on there. We'll know what it's for. Everybody can do something. Just give what you can. Give the best you can. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you. Praise the Lord. Noah, would you come up here and grab this keyboard here? Take Rico's place. Amen. Play what's in your spirit. Give me just a moment. I didn't even tell him I was going to do this, but I'm going to do it. Amen. Tamara, come on up here and join me. We made a decision just a matter of weeks ago to add a staff person. And we've invited Rico Anthony and his precious wife, Tamara. Come on up here and stand with me. We've invited them to join our staff as the Director of Worship Arts, Tamika. Did I say something? I said Tamara. I'm sorry. I even asked you how to spell her name yesterday. I should remember it, right? I had a reason for that, too. And I believe in God's provision that he always knows what we need. Amen? He does. He always knows what we need. And so I believe that in God's providence, he's placed this couple here. And I want to our elders that are present, ministers that are present, if you would come. And we're going to lay hands on this couple today. Amen. Come on, ministers, elders, just gather around them on this platform. We're not just getting Rico. We're getting his life partner. Amen. Amen. I believe there's a new season for you, Tamika. A new season. That's already been prophesied over your life, but I believe it's a new season for you, and I believe that God has unique and special gifts that he's planted inside of you that are going to be so important, so vital for you as you stand beside your man, as you stand beside the one that God has placed you with. Happy anniversary, by the way. Rico had a word from the Lord for everybody yesterday. Don't get married on December 31st, okay? You have to file taxes jointly for one day, okay? But let's together bless them today with just prayer for God's blessing and provision in a mighty way. Pastor Bernie, would you come? Would you come and just want to call on the wisdom in the crowd? Amen. Don't you love this guy? You love Pastor Bernie? I call on the wisdom. Amen. And just pray a prayer of blessing and provision and favor over Rico and Tamika. Praise God.
Our God and our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy holy and most righteous name. Lord, we enter into your presence right now. God, we come to say thank you, God, for all the many marvelous, wonderful, miraculous things that you have done in our lives, oh God, because we're here today in a new year with new beginnings. And God, I pray right now, as you look down, oh God, right now upon our musicians, Tamara and Tamika, God, that you bless them. God, there are many who might not understand, oh God, right now. But God, you do, and that's all that matters. And God, we thank you for their presence here, oh God. And God, not just their presence here, oh God, but God, as they come, oh God, that they'll be sowing seeds, oh God. There'll be a great harvest in the end, oh Lord. I ask a blessing upon their lives, oh God, that any negative thing said against them, oh God, that we cast out, we plead the blood of Jesus against it, that any weapon formed against them shall turn to powder and dust right before their eyes. But God, there will be, oh God, they're like Jehoshaphat, to keep their eyes and their minds stayed on you. God, they might not know what to do at times, but God, you do. I pray, God, Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge, and you shall direct their path. God, direct their paths today. I pray for Pastor Wallace today that you direct his path. God, give him courage and strength for the journey that is on. It's not easy, oh Lord, and I know it's not easy, but bless, oh God, And the Bible says we have not because we ask not. But we have this blessed assurance in 1 John and 5 that when we come before you, God, you hear our prayers and that you act according to your will. May your will be done here in Carpenter Sharp International Church in Ahoskin, North Carolina. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Bernie. I'm going to let Rico greet you. Amen. You know, Pastor's going to always put a microphone in your hand, all right?
Praise the Lord, everybody. He just praise the Lord, everybody. I thank God for sending us here. Thank God for direction. Thank God for Pastor Wallace. Great man. Thank you, Lord. We learned that over the last year, just getting to know each other, telephone calls back and forth, and then the retreat that we had, it was just a wonderful experience, and you guys have we have a jewel in Pastor Wallace on this earth, and we thank God for him. My wife couldn't stop talking about the retreat and the moment and the experience that she's been longing for, that we've been longing for. So it was really, really good. I'm grateful to be here, grateful for the worship team and the team of people that God has placed me over. I just pray for you. I just pray that you would continue with your prayers, that God will be all that He wants us to be as the worship team, as the family, as the church body. Because you know, as things happen, you know, the enemy is always at work on the back end, and so it was a wonderful experience this morning. Let's give the worship team a hand for ushering in the presence of God in such a mighty way. It was a wonderful experience. Rehearsal was wonderful. I'm not trying to invite people to rehearsals, but God comes in rehearsals. How many were here Tuesday, Wednesday night? God comes in rehearsals. I mean, it was a mighty move of God, a mighty experience. And we're going to grow and we're going to learn together. We're going to learn more about what we do so that we can, what we present to you all, because you go through things during the week, right? And when you come to church, you want that burden to be lifted.
Amen. Amen.
So let me say this. As long as I'm here, the altar during worship is always open. If you need something from the Lord, you don't have to wait until the pastor comes up to preach, because that's traditional church, right? When the pastor preaches, that's when I'm going to get what I need. I know Tamika talks about that. I'm waiting on the word, right? But worship is the moment that we get to give God something. We get to lay that burden down at the altar. So as we're doing what we do, playing and singing and worshiping God, if there's something that you need, you step forth. Come out of your seats and give it back to God.
Amen.
We're gonna work on doing a great job in presenting God to you and representing God to you and making sure that you know that we serve a God, that we're singing about the God of the Bible.
Amen.
Like, we're not singing about some false God. We're singing about the same God that you serve, that's in that Bible that you read every day. Because you read your Bible every day. I know you do. Right? But we're going to make sure that you know that we're singing about that God.
Amen.
And we just want to be effective. I think everybody here has been welcoming, and I thank you for that. Thank you for this new journey that my wife and I are on. Yesterday made 9 years of marriage, and so we thank God for that.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah, 9 years of marriage. And I'm going to give the microphone to my wife if she has something that she wants to say.
God bless you all. He's saying say something. I just thank God for Pastor Wallace and thank God for this church. And everyone, the couple of times I've been here so far, everyone has been very sweet, very kind, and loving. But most importantly, it appears to me that everyone here has a relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. And that's what's most important to me. And I thank God for that.
Praise the Lord.
Why?
Follow his leadership.
He's asking me to say something. What do you want me to say?
Treat the people this way.
Bienvenido a nuestra iglesia hoy mismo. He wants me to speak in Spanish because I've lived in Spanish-speaking countries. God bless you. If anyone speaks Spanish, I can help. No?
Yeah, we got several over here.
Over there, a couple?
If you want to speak.
No.
Praise the Lord. That's an extra benefit right there that she speaks Spanish. Amen? You love that? Praise God. Well, let's believe God for just his blessing to rest upon Rico and Tamika, and I'm sure you want a chance to greet them, so I'm just going to ask them to maybe step out in the foyer so you can greet them with a hug or a handshake and welcome them to the family at Carpenter Shop International Church. We love you guys, man. We love you guys. Thank you so much for being here today, and go by the table and see Doug and Lori, and have a wonderful, wonderful 2023. God bless you all. Amen.